CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, good morning. We got no fancy music this morning. We got some kind of a technical issue. You can see even the machines just want a holiday now. Even the Comrex just wants to go on holiday. It wouldn't switch on. It's just lying here looking at me like a dead fish. Like some wives look at some husbands after 55 years of marriage. Can you imagine? Ugh.
Oh,
just
boy.
Get on top of me and get
like
it over
the, like the scorpion was like a scorpion looked at me from my kitchen floor this weekend.
Oh God, you had a scorpion?
I mean, how bizarre. We see those scorpion things in documentaries. We don't see them on our kitchen floor, right?
Well, I grew up on a farm, so we used to have scorpions around us all the time. They would come into the house, but you know how you can tell if it's a dangerous scorpion?
Yes. I had to look it up. Tell me if I'm right. Mm.
Okay,
it
go.
Depends on the size of the pinchers versus the size of the tail.
Yeah. Correct. So which ones are the dangerous ones?
The ones with the fatter tail are more dangerous, I think.
Correct. Yes, that's right.
If their tail is really fat, but they've got small pinchers.
Yes, they will.
So this one, I mean, I could fish it out the bin if I wanted to. But I mean, okay, let me just. So remember,
well, we've got Collectomania later. Let's start your scorpion collection this morning.
Oh my Lord. So I mean, you remember I lived in the bush for a year and I had a cobra on my doorstep. But never scorpions. So I was walking around barefoot in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And noticed something, grabbed my glasses and went up close and noticed that it was a scorpion. Couldn't tell if it was dead or alive. So, and having three cats around, I was, you know, obviously worried about them.
Yeah.
So I quickly grabbed a large clear Tupperware dish and put that over it and a thick Oxford dictionary on top. Then I noticed it wasn't moving at all. Yeah, because immediately I thought, does Doom even work on these things? You know, when you doom it. But I didn't know what to do. So, yeah, put the Tupperware on. And then I noticed it was actually dead, and that's because it had already been battered around by my cats. They're not scared of anything. I mean, they've seen.
No, cats are scared of nothing. No, definitely. They cats are like bomb-proof in that front. Cats certain little dogs are very good at handling snakes and scorpions and all kinds of venomous things.
So I kept checking the cats. I mean, every time they fell asleep, I thought they were dead.
But, I love Carl's suggestion. He says, you can tell if it's dangerous if when it stings you, you die. It was a dangerous one then, obviously. Stay woke.
Yeah. If you're alive, then it's not a dangerous
one. It's not that bad, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I found out that I let it shrink under the, you know, because they're arachnid type things. So their insides are quite soft. So it kind of became dehydrated. And then I was able to handle it with my potato pinchers and put it in the bin. But apparently they're quite rife where I am because I'm near the Melville Kopjes.
Okay. So, yeah. They came down to visit you and now look what happened. It died. Wasn't a good
Christmas
visit that way. And
I'm never walking around barefoot again, traipsing into the kitchen at night.
No, man, it's just one. Stop being, don't be paranoid. So Bulelo's here, Leanne's here, I'm here. We're here to look after you this morning. It's Monday morning. It's already the 6th of December. Somebody asked here, Rudy says, where is the Christmas tree, Gareth? Yeah, I've done the Christmas tree, but I'm not going to. In fact, let me see if I can't show you with this camera, but I've got to rearrange this room a little bit to do that. So there it is. You see the Christmas tree? Yay.
Oh,
there's
well that. Done. Flashy
that's
lights.
The little one. That's the little one that we've got going for now. But I'll get in. There's nice. Carl just under it. Look at Carl.
Oh, man. He's so gorgeous.
There's Carl sleeping under the Christmas tree. But I'll get it all sorted later today. When the Comrex wouldn't come on early this morning, I thought better not to rearrange the whole studio. Otherwise, we might even have more problems. But I'll get it all working. And then from tomorrow, you'll be able to see. But I've done the tree. I've decorated everything. That's just the little one here in the study. I've got the other one downstairs. So I feel like, you know, that National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Shout out Chevy Chase.
The entire house. I love that guy. Clark Griswold is the name, right?
Yeah.
So I don't feel as bad as that. But we did go yesterday All the family got together at my parents' house where there's the big Christmas tree. And it's mostly for the nephews now, although all of us just love Christmas, thanks to my mom making it such a big deal. And my dad puts up this huge tree. You know, one year we used to cut down our trees, right? Because there was when we were living on the farm, there was this huge like forest of conifer trees. So we would cut down our own trees.
Okay.
And one year we put up the biggest tree you've ever seen. It was like, I don't know, 2.5 times the size of a man. This huge natural tree, and it smelled beautiful. It smelled like, you know, that you get that pine kind of smell when you cut down one of those. Oh, man. And I just remember I was probably about, I must have been 16, 17 at that stage. So I was kind of less impressed because, you know, you think you're too cool for those kinds of things when you're about that age. But I remember every other kid who came to visit us during that December and came for Christmas and everything, they were like standing in front of this tree and they were mesmerized just because it was so huge.
Mm.
And I saw that same look on my nephew's faces yesterday when we were decorating the tree, because Luke, who's the elder one, got to put the star on the top. I had to hold him up so he could reach the top of it. And the little one got to switch on the lights, which was the other big, you know, exciting part of it. And they both,
cute,
you know,
when
they've just got that, they get that look in their eyes, like this is something special and magical. And you could just see it's very, very cool. That makes it all really nice.
That's so cute.
I'm also really glad the vagrants that your mom invites didn't kidnap your nephews. That's a good thing as well.
No. The vagrants only come on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I tend to confuse my vagrant cliff invite. Sorry.
Yeah. I know, but it's usually it's not so much vagrants as it is sad, lonely, kind of depressing people who really I don't want to spend Christmas with, but my mother's trying to be charitable towards, you know?
Oh my God.
I'm just remembering being invited for Christmas carols many, many times. And now I'm wondering, was that the vagrant?
No, you're sad and lonely looking to Garrett's mom. She thought.
No, Christmas carols is for all the friends, and there's always an overflow of people there. So if you get to that one, then you're pretty important because we try to keep it limited. But the Christmas Eve dinner.
Oh, phew.
She always feels like, oh, shame. If you can't be with your family on Christmas Eve, then she has to look after you. It's like her. You know, it's her moment to
poor
feel like she's
Cedric
needs to
sitting all alone.
Oh God! You end up with some smelly old man whose clothes smell of wee sitting at the end of the table, going,
"Yeah,
could you pass the mint sauce?"
My mum does exactly the same, and we had the old man from down the road, and he went for a shit at one point. After he managed to shuffle there, and he'd been baking this enormous cow pat and dropped it off in the loo, and I happened to go in there afterwards to wash my hands or something, and it smelled like dead children. Oh. But yeah.
Well, you never know what he was eating if he was homeless. You got to be careful. Anyway, someone brings up, Tracy says, the best line from those Griswold movies is when his hick brother and the family come and stay and they park the Winnebago in the street and he goes, shitter's full, and he's emptying it into the manhole. I love that movie. In fact, I'm going to watch that movie again this year. I love it. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's easily one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then Keith is quoting like a song from the Bee Gees. When I was small and Christmas trees were tall, we used to laugh while others used to play, blah, blah, blah. So, yes. Okay. Very nice, Keith. Carl says, well, it's not just Carl. There's a lot of people here. Why am I so happy that Chris Cuomo was fired by CNN? Is it because he was so preachy for so long? Now, I don't know if this is a big media story or anything, but I saw a couple of headlines. It is? Okay, so remember, Chris Cuomo is the guy who did primetime on CNN, still had less viewers than ENCA does in South Africa, right? Not a great show.
And he has a brother.
He has an older brother called Andrew Cuomo, who was the governor of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Cuomo is the guy who has now been kicked out of being governor of New York, he resigned because he was getting touchy-feely with a whole lot of women and, like, calling them honey pie, darling, you know, sugar bunch or whatever. So, look, this Andrew Cuomo, that's not the worst thing he did, if you ask me. Andrew Cuomo, while he was governor of New York, remember all the media houses, including especially CNN, because his brother was clearly, like, his hype man, were saying he's the governor of America, America's governor, because Trump was president at the time. And Andrew Cuomo was saying, you must wear masks, you must sanitize your hands, you must get vaccinated, mm-hmm. all this shit. And making a big fuss about, like, getting corona under control. But he was also sending all the old people who were already infected back to their nursing homes so that they could infect each other some more. And so many people died. And they lost. New York has, I think, still the second or third highest death rate mm-hmm. for corona of any state. But they were still hyping up Andrew Cuomo as this, like, brilliant governor. Just because he was a Democrat and everybody hated Trump, right? So they were just drawing the contrast between the two. So anyway, Andrew Cuomo had to step down as governor. Now they've found out that Chris Cuomo, his younger brother, who does the show on CNN, this guy was part of the advisory panel that Andrew had around him during the time these women were making allegations. And
he
Chris was
protecting him.
Yeah, and he was tracking down, like, some of the women who'd made allegations to try and protect his brother. So this is a complicated one because part of what – I mean, like, I would expect my brother to be on my side and have my back, even if he were in, you know, a different business to me. But CNN is hardly in a position where it can say that they're objective. You know, like, it's like, this is the first time CNN has not been objective. Do me a favor. And now they've fired Chris Cuomo. And I don't feel sorry for anyone in this story, by the way. But this is not the worst thing Chris Cuomo has done either. I mean, you know, backing his brother is probably the most honorable thing he's done. So I don't know what to think of it. What do you think?
Also, I don't feel sorry for anybody at all. I think they all just cooked their own goose. And yeah, I understand you have to protect someone, but to go to extra measures to do that, I just think it all stinks.
New York's run by the mafia anyway. Who cares what Cuomo's doing?
Yeah, I mean, and these two are from an Italian family, just saying.
Oh, well, I didn't say that. I said the mafia. I didn't say all Italians are gangsters. But there are a lot of Italians in New York.
can we just talk about what's going on in Australia and New Zealand and in other parts of the world at the moment where they are actually locking people in, like, camps? Like, they're putting people in camps. If you are discovered with coronavirus now, you're shipped off. Now, Leanne, you've got family in Australia.
Yeah.
I know you don't like them, but have you spoken to them?
No, I haven't spoken to them. I think some of my family here does keep in contact with them, so I can always find out. But also, it's so annoying. I mean, if you just look at the stats, we've got 11,000 new cases in South Africa and one death because this variant isn't a problem. And the world is overreacting.
So can I, maybe if there's someone who's listening to us live in Australia right now, I mean, what would the time be? Or in New Zealand, just tell us what the hell's going on there, because it sounds like all kinds of hell. I was at Ben's birthday thing on Thursday last week, and I was talking to a mutual friend of ours. He was saying he's so happy he lives in South Africa, right? Because this place is like the Wild West. Even if the government decide to put us on another lockdown, because they could. I mean, who knows how, you know, they always make stupid decisions. But even if they do decide to make an extra stupid decision, are we going to listen? Hell no. We don't care.
No
right?
chance.
You're still going to have your Christmas the way that you'd planned it. You're still going to invite people from other households, whether it's your family or your friends. You're still going to do all the things you were going to do. You might not be able to travel internationally as much as, you know, you might have 2 months ago before the Omicron variant was discovered and we all got put under, like, shit lists by all these other countries. But the idea that in places like Sydney, which used to be one of the most progressive, liberal, open cities in the world, I mean, Sydney has a reputation for being this cool place, Mm-hmm. Apparently, cops are going door to door, knocking on the door. And if you're found not to be a resident in that house and you're there, they literally arrest you.
What?
And they'll take you away. So, you know, whether you're a family member who's visiting because, I don't know, you needed someone to bring you chicken soup because you weren't feeling good, or if you've got a friend popping by to collect an electrical device that they left there, like a phone charger or something, or if you've got a party going on, or if you are...
maybe you have responsibilities to your family.
Yeah.
You have to be there to help. Do something.
You're babysitting a kid or something. They will apparently, and this is what I'm hearing, they will actually take you away and put you under arrest for breaking lockdown rules.
What?
Fuck's sake. Yeah, man, it's ridiculous.
It's laughable.
And now, would you rather, I feel sorry for all those South Africans who like, thought they were moving to a better country when they upped and emigrated to Australia and New Zealand.
Why do you feel sorry for them? No, they chose. They must live with it now.
Yes, I know. But now bad choices are being compounded by awful governments. And you see the difference between us and them. Now, hold on. Difference between us and them is that their government actually can make rules and people will follow them because they're a law-abiding society. And we used to view that as being a good thing in the world, and maybe it is in some ways because, like, the buses work and the trains work and the rubbish is collected and the electricity switches on. But fuck, I would rather be in a place that is run like a spaza shop, like us, where Cyril can say whatever he wants tomorrow and we won't listen. We do whatever we want, right?
I was going to ask you.
There's not enough policing. So no one can actually monitor everyone in South Africa. We're too strewn across the country.
No, we don't give a shit. We just don't listen. Like, if the cops pitched up at your door and said, hey, who's this in your house? You'd be like, you get in your car and you fuck off now, or bad things are going to happen. And they'd go, okay.
You just don't open your gate.
Oh, exactly. Steve
keep
says, suddenly South Africa
can't come in.
And come in. South Africa ain't that bad now. Still better than a penal colony. So, okay, let's just find out if this is fake news or not. It's a camp. There's apparently a camp to help people with concentration issues because they have difficulty concentrating on doing the right thing. Next lockdown, next week Sunday, when Cyril finishes visiting Kwame Nkrumah, we're going to be addressed again. Concentration camps.
That's it.
That's what people are calling it. Unless the media is hiding it, this is not true here in Oz. Fake news, I think. Okay, but there is a difference, obviously. Australia is quite federal. So apparently in Western Australia, they don't care about the rules either, because that's a bit more like – that's more like the – Western Australia is kind of like the free state but with a coastline, as far as I can tell. And also the – Northwest Territory. But they literally, there was a story in the news, okay, that I know is not a fake news story, that I watched on TV the other day, or it came up on YouTube, but it was from an Australian news channel that said this group of teenagers escaped, they used the word escaped, from one of these facilities, health facilities, and it was a manhunt to like track these teenagers down because they had broken out of this place because they were depressed and needed to like get out and go and find their families. So I don't know, Duds. I mean, this is what I'm hearing is true. Tracy says, I have family in Melbourne and the cops are actually walking around checking if those people walking around without masks, with a takeaway coffee, actually have coffee in that cup. You see, like, our cops don't have time to do that because they're murders and corruption
we've
and
got,
all kinds
like,
of things happening.
Scorpions and we've got people who are robbing COVID stations of their iPads. You know?
Now, listen, I got to tell you, like, I'm not going to – Bulelo says he feels like he can hop on here and, like, mock people who moved to Australia. But I'm telling you – this just makes me really, really pleased that I live in the Wild West, because that's what we are. We're the Wild West. Nobody here follows rules. Nobody here cares. You break the rules, you do what you want. I had a lunch meeting, a business meeting on Friday. I hardly needed my mask. I like pulled it out as a show. When I walked into the restaurant for the lunch meeting, I didn't even put it on. I was like, here it is, la, 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 blah, blah, blah. Put it kind of positioned it near my face and then walked in and sat down. It was just stupid. People do escape from quarantine facilities, says Dad. They get hunted down. Could be that Howard Springs facility in the Northern Territory near Darwin. Yeah, and it also wouldn't surprise me if it was like Aboriginal people who'd been hunted down, because Australians have been good at that for at least the last 100 years too. So
they have a sorry day, though. Yeah, that's enough. All you need to do is say sorry for
sorry
one day. Yeah, you just have sorry day.
Sorry day.
No, there is a national sorry day.
Sorry day.
They literally have national.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, real thing. The Australians think that's enough.
Jeez.
Go back to Kookaburra, mate, to Wollongong.
Let me tell you something. If you took an entire brigade from the police force and you went into places like really rough neighborhoods, like someone says here, Boxburg or something, and you went door to door, I tell you, half your brigade would come home. The other half, you just never find the bodies. Right?
Yeah. No.
In Australia, all of them would come back with prisoners.
It's because all of the weak Afrikaans Oaks left. You know, the real mana state. So the Oaks you don't want trouble with, they here still in Boxburg. Say, what's sukile? Yeah, those Oaks.
Yeah.
they're not going to move for sure.
No, that's why the Springboks are.
Can't. I mean, it's.
No, that's why the Springboks are still so good. You know, we let all of our weak Afrikaans people leave. We kept the real. Real Oaks.
We kept the strong
one. Yeah.
Rebellious Ruth says, Cliff Central, what about in Germany? C19 not going away. Yeah, I mean, in Germany, apparently, they've put up fences inside the malls. There are actual videos you can go and watch of people shopping in Germany. They're parts of Germany, obviously, because it's also a federal system. So some places are more paranoid than others. And only since Omicron, they've now got these fences up in the mall. So you the unmasked people or the, sorry, unvaccinated people shop on one, but it's a fence. It's not a plastic. Do people not know how viruses work? It's a fence. It's got holes in it.
You know what I need now is for Donald to do a full on, just come through and go, Miss Miracle. Tear down that fence.
Yes, can you imagine? That would be so funny. That'd be awesome. Anyone who could get away with it.
Yeah, but
God, David's on a roll here. Do people take offense? Right. Xbox Series X says, I live in Boxburg. Watch it. Yeah, all right. We apologize.
Yeah, and he means it.
Apologize.
Because he's from Boxburg.
I know.
I'm actually sorry.
That's why we apologize. Cindy says, we had people here in Ireland that escaped from the mandatory hotel quarantine. Sounds similar. I'm about to travel to New York. So all the travel bullshit begins shortly. Yeah, listen, my sister-in-law has her sister out here, and she's managed to get a flight via to get back home to her family, because she arrived like, I don't know, 3-4 days before the Omicron variant was discovered, and we were put on a shit list, right? So she's found a way home now, but also has to get tested tomorrow first thing, and then it has to be within 24 hours of the flight, and then she also gets tested on that side. And
a lot of people who are stranded in South Africa, but most of them are making the best of it, and they're like, you can't call me stranded. I'm living in luxury here, especially if you're spending dollars or pounds and staying in a hotel.
Well, I went to a memorial service a couple of weeks ago, and the uncle of this friend of mine flew in from England to be at the memorial, and then obviously these travel restrictions came in. So now he's gone back and he's in a quarantine facility, and I got an update that like they give them the most horrible food, but it is like it's not a quarantine facility. It's not like a, you know, 3, 4, or 5-star hotel. It's like they give you this like slop in a like tin plate, and you have to pay for that. You get to pay like £3,000 or £4,000 for the privilege of being in quarantine for 2 weeks. And apparently the military are like patrolling around there, checking that you don't leave your room and shit. Can you imagine? This is how we're living in 2021. If you told the people who rescued us from Hitler 70 years ago,
yeah.
Like this is how your grandchildren will be traveling between Britain and South Africa. Can you imagine? They'd say to you, no, that's the side that we've just beaten that would have done that, not us. ridiculous, man. And people are just, people are like going, yeah, we're up for this because we're so scared of this virus that kills 0.01% of us. And this variant, which seems even less dangerous than that. Mad. And you do see all the protests, right? So Lenise has pointed this out too. People are getting chatful all over the place. Not everyone is compliant. The media is just playing scare tactics. I got to say, like, the media have not – and I say the media in general here. I'm talking more especially about, like, traditional television news, traditional radio. Those guys are towing the line for governments all over the world, hey, and they're all helping to fuel the fear. If you woke up in the morning, like a lot of old people do this, they turn on the TV and they watch the TV news because they believe that that's not propaganda. They believe that these are objective journalists. And if you did that every day from March 2020, last year when they started locking us down, by now you'd be a gibbering wreck. You'd be terrified that everything in the world was working against you being alive, everybody. And you'd think, I'm likely to die. Anything could happen, but like, this is my last day on earth, because the media have been absolutely scurrilous. Obviously, it works to their advantage, because if you frighten people, then people keep watching because they're terrified and they think that you're a source for them to stay safe, and you just lose your mind. And there are people all over the world who are absolutely terrified, and it's all the media's fault. They have no reason to be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to talk about all this shit today, but we haven't spoken about it in so long, and I saw so much news over the weekend that I thought, ugh, we have to talk about that. Anyway, Jackson Okomposle says, Indoda acts something. Jesus Christ, what a name. Gareth Cliff, let's talk about petrol fuel price. We're paying just over 20 Rand a liter. Yeah, you know what? I think we spoke about that largely last week, but that is outrageous. And then government did the calculation wrong. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Someone was like, oh, sorry, we added it up wrong. It's not so much. It's actually this much.
How do you make a mistake like that? Damn it.
Because we've got cadres being deployed.
Mshololo's.
Ridiculous, man. Mshololo's.
Yeah, Mshololo's immense. Mshololo's immense.
Yeah, no. But it's also, Robin says, blame Mshololo's for media capture. It's outrageous. Oh, man. Our traditional media is a joke, says Michael, and should not be listened to under any circumstances. Some of them will one day be severely punished for their complicity in this corona bullshit. I hope you're right, Michael, because if you followed them, and like a lot of people who don't know better and who've never heard channels like ours or used the internet to search for their own information, a lot of them will believe that like the media is on their side, you know, and trying to help them and trying to warn them about the dangers. They've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker, and it's made so many people paranoid.
And I was talking to old Maka of mine in Germany, and we were discussing about how Germany is quite vulnerable, right? And I mean, it's actually applicable to all of Europe. We always think South Africa is the most rural place in the world, but Germany is actually a really rural country. For those people who haven't been there, it's largely villages. Like everybody sees like München, and I've never been to Berlin, but Germany is a bunch of people that are in villages that really are like people in our villages who really don't know much. And she says it's incredible, some of the things that are happening there. People are, you know, they are so supine as well. They're all like full on into the media, and Germany is just one nervous wreck right now because the people are just, they know it.
I love this. Like Dave Camacho says, looks like Gareth is finally waking up. I mean, fuck you, Dave. I've been on this train since March last year. Yeah. I mean, if you recall, I started arguing with Reedy Klabi and her guest, that petty socialist. That was back in March or April last year when everyone was like, yes, very pro-lockdown. Yes, lock us down, Cyril. Pray for Cyril. Remember all that shit?
Oh, thank God for Cyril.
One of the only people you would find. Excuse me, like, Dave, I don't know what you've been listening to, dude, but just because you've only woken up now, don't drag me into your mess. I've been on this track for a long time, dude. I don't like any of what I've seen. And it's not because I believe in conspiracy theories, although you're going to love this. I got a news headline yesterday. This is amazing. The NIH, the National Institute for Health in America, you know, the place that Fauci works for.
Mm-hmm.
They have research connecting COVID-19 severity to wireless communication, including 5G. What? Yes, you read that correctly.
Oh, no.
So that you want to go into conspiracy theories? David Icke was right in that respect then. How do you like them apples? That was from the NIH. You go and look it up. Do your own research. Don't believe me. I'm not going to say that's what I haven't looked into it in any more detail than that. But I saw the headline and I thought, oh, that's hilarious. So anyway, let's see what happens, everybody. And by the way, Greg asked, what happened to those Panda COVID data people? I saw a great article by Ivo Fechter over the weekend. Ivo, who's often been on the Burning Platform, and he basically says he doesn't believe Panda anymore. So I want to get Ivo and Nick Hudson on and let them argue it out, because I don't know. I'd like to hear them both. We've had them both on Cliff Central, because we like to have different opinions, and I'd like to hear them go at each other. So I'll try and get them on, Greg. Might not even happen this year, though, because we're pretty much full up. You cannot believe it. This show, I don't have a single day where there's a gap. And in a couple of seconds, we're going to have Dr. Hanan on for It's Going to Be Okay, which we do on a Monday. We've got Collectomania later on. It's going to be a nice, busy week this week. Sure. And a lot of people going on holiday from Friday. Leanne, which cat is that that's in front of us?
That's Saffron. She's been particularly needy this morning.
No, I like it. I like it. So I'm very much aware of this Panda and Ivo Fechter thing. He wrote a column for, I think, the Daily Friend or one of those, basically saying he doesn't believe that Panda are doing what they said they would do, and Panda saying Ivo's full of shit. So let's see. Lito says, Lito Ndoba, who we speak to obviously on the Burning Platform, but he's somebody who's a friend of the show too. He says, fun fact, the mayoral chain has been stolen in Stockholm, expecting ANC members to start stealing each other. I feel so sorry for you, Lito. I mean, I don't know what to say. Hey,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I really don't know what to say. That's just unbelievable. They've actually stolen the mayoral chain. But again, would you rather have the ANC stealing the mayoral chain and we can, you know, manage on our own and get on with our lives? Or would you like to live in a place where someone who steals the mayoral chain is also able to execute, like, a proper government? Because I don't like that idea.
But isn't there a sweet spot where we can, like, have them semi-competent? Nothing. It's either totalitarianism
Yeah, you and Helen Ziller, you believe in what she calls the capable state, right?
I believe in the necessity of the capable state. Now, whether I believe the history shows us that it's not an option, but I do believe in the necessity of a capable state. So I'm actually stuck. I'm stuck. I don't know what I believe.
Yeah, well, you're the one who said Germany was run so well. Now they've got people separated by fences. And
well, that's because Merkel's on her way out. I mean, once you lose a saucy minx like that, you know, things are going to go to the dogs.
Still in love with her. All right. Well, hippos in the zoo have been tested for COVID and are now in quarantine. That's the kind of scary news in Belgium, says Lenise. Oh, my God. What? I mean, it's outrageous, right? South African vaccine packs are said to be up to 80% saline solution. Okay, I don't know if that's true, Michael. I'm not going to spread that bullshit around. I mean, if it is true, it is true. I've had two shots of the Pfizer, and I'm not going for any more. Not in any hurry at all. That's me done. Cyril is big talk about gender-based violence, yet rape tests are piling up in the in-tray. They have zero respect for violence towards women. What kind of democracy is this? Yeah, I mean, lip service is the main job of governments all over the world right now, including ours. Lip service. They love saying, we care about women and minorities and disabled people and children, but they don't do anything about it. So, I don't know. Lots of people very excited about having Nick and Ivo on. Fight, fight, fight. Yes, let's get them on. We're going to try that. Don't you worry. Well, if anyone's going to host the two of them together, it'll be us. So let's try and do that. All right, exciting stuff. Dr. Hanan's going to come on in a moment or two. We're going to talk a little bit about something that I think many of us are struggling with at this time of year. Of course, Dr. Hanan, no stranger to the show, but if you have an issue that you want resolved, because we've got a couple of these left in this year, and we'll start off planning for next year, you want to resolve some issue around, you know, mental health, something around personal relationships, something around work relationships. This is like a free therapy session that we're offering you. It could be the start of getting your life in order. And Dr. Hanan is no slouch. He will tell you practical ways to get your shit together. And last week we spoke, if you remember, about dealing with difficult relatives over the festive season, right? Mm. Well, this week we continue on a similar theme, but we are going to be talking about dealing with COVID and the effects of COVID on people, because, you know, some people have plans for the holidays that they've now had to cancel. So probably going to be lots and lots of lonely people. And the reason we want to get Dr. Hanan's point of view on this is because apparently this time of year is also peak suicide time in the world, you know, where if someone doesn't have anyone to be with for the holidays, they get very, very depressed, or they stop their meds, or they start their meds, or, you know, there are all kinds of things around this that you've got to tread quite carefully on, because it's a very tricky time of year. For some of us who have families and friends and are able to see them, it's the happiest time of the year. But for a lot of other people, it's extremely upsetting. So let's get him on and talk to Dr. Hanan. Hey, Dr. Hanan, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Nice to see you. I mean, I was just talking about how this is my favorite time of year and I love it. But there are loads of people who have a very challenging time. Lots of people are very lonely. Lots of people who don't have great relationships with their families. A lot of people who are who feel that the need to kind of just stay away, or to force themselves to mix with people they don't necessarily want to. There are financial obligations involved in all of that. There's pain and difficulty and trauma brought up by like absent relatives who you may not have ever reconciled with. People have got some serious stuff on their plate, if you'll pardon the pun, at this time of year. So let's just start off with that, the difficulty and disappointment for people who are not feeling great about Christmas, and people who have a huge amount of difficulty. And then we talk about like those people who are worrying about whether to invite their vaccinated or unvaccinated family for Christmas and, you know, for the holidays. Hanukkah's on the go at the moment. Like, what do people do, Doc?
So this is a very, very difficult time of the year, because the festive season, this is a time of connecting to family members. And for those people who have struggled the whole year and haven't built relationships, or haven't been able to connect to good friends and good family members, and suddenly this time of year, you know, you turn on the news and you see everybody getting along with everybody else and everybody's having a good time with family and friends, and in comparison, you realize that you're not there. And it's very, very difficult, because at the time when other people are getting support from close family and friends, a lot of people are alone. A lot of people are struggling by themselves, which is very difficult. And this new variant hasn't made it easier. So interestingly, last week I did a simple exercise where the whole country was literally, you know, I always get straight after Cyril talks, my phone just doesn't stop. My phone just rings off the hook. People are literally freak out, especially when he gives us, let's call it bad news. You know, he starts locking things down and putting more restrictions on us. Yeah. The country literally just lights up on fire and my phone just doesn't stop. And what I did a simple exercise. I went onto old files from a year and a half ago and I saw what were people's reactions after the first wave and what were people's reactions after the second wave and third wave and fourth wave. And interestingly, there was absolutely no difference. After the first wave, people just freaked out. And then it died down. Everybody was kind of excited about life and things were returning back to normal. And then we hit the second wave and people were freaking out. And people use the same adjectives and pronouns. They were like, I'm incredibly fearful. I'm scared. I'm petrified. This country is going to go to hell. Maybe I should move countries. And the same issues keep on coming up. The problem is we tend to forget about it. So this is no different in terms of how we feel and how we felt about the first, second, and third wave. But we'll walk through this one as well. But going back to your question, yeah, this is an incredibly difficult time of year. But you know, we got to buckle down and we got to connect as much as we can, and this will be okay too.
Okay, but you know, so there's some families that are not happy campers, and you have to invite, you know, someone that you don't particularly like, or maybe you have to put up with relatives that you don't love, or maybe you have to, I don't know, re-examine and unpack a relationship with a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a granny or a grandpa who you don't really get along with. So for a lot of people, it is challenging. Let's just talk about suicide at this time of year and be very serious for a second, and then we can get on to the more ridiculous stuff later on. This is prime time for people who off themselves, and there are some people who have, you know, lots of terrible challenges and difficulties in their life. And then there are other people who are just not having an easy ride. So what advice do you have for anyone who's feeling like that? What can they do to help get the help that they need to pull themselves out of a very tricky and dangerous situation where you can make decisions that don't have an exit plan? Just some general advice around that and getting professional help perhaps.
So I'm a big fan of teaching people principles as opposed to techniques, because principles apply to many different scenarios. Techniques just apply to perhaps a particular scenario and it doesn't work in others. So what I'd like to offer everybody that's listening is a particular principle that I follow on a daily basis in my life, and it certainly has shaped the way I view my world. And I hope that it makes a difference to you too. And again, let's just go back a little bit. This is a very difficult time of year, not because there's anything really special about December, but just because, or specifically about the month, but specifically because everybody's with their families, and suddenly your world seems to be highlighted as well, you're all alone, or perhaps you don't have those close relationships. But, and I'll give you an analogy, and I'll give the viewers and the listeners an analogy. If I put a 1,000-piece puzzle in front of you, and if you ever try to do a 1,000-piece puzzle, you'll know it's very difficult. But if I put a 1,000-piece puzzle in front of you and I say to you, you've got X amount of time to put it together, what's your first step? Well, everybody says, well, I'll do the corners and then I'll do the edges. That's right. And if I put 2,000 pieces in front of you, they say, well,
same.
I'll do the corners and the edges. And I put 5,000 pieces in front of you and 10,000 pieces in front of you, 100,000 pieces in front of you. The framework stays the same. And the framework is what allows you to feel in control, whether you have 1,000 pieces in front of you or 100,000 pieces in front of you. That's why some people that have 1,000 pieces in front of them can feel in control, while somebody else that has 100 pieces in front of them can fall apart. Because people think resiliency is about my internal ability to manage life. No. Resiliency is, do I have the framework, the blueprint to manage what's in front of me? It's the framework, it's the blueprint, it's the game plan that makes me feel in control, whether there's 1,000 pieces in front of me or 100,000 pieces in front of me. So the two mistakes that people make is they go, well, what's the problem with me? Why am I not able to manage life? And I turn to people and I go, the problem has got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with your framework. Your framework is either non-existent or it's not working to manage the pieces in front of you. The second mistake that people make is go, why is life so unfair? Why do I have 1,000 pieces in front of me and somebody else has 100? Well, that's just because that is life. Sometimes life will throw 10 pieces in front of you. Sometimes life will throw 100,000 pieces in front of you. Sometimes life will throw 1,000,000 pieces in front of you. That's life. You got to be aware and very cognizant of what is your framework, because a framework is what keeps you going. So I'll give you another analogy, which might be really useful. If I put a Rubik's Cube in front of you and I say to you, you've got 10 minutes to do it. Well, most people don't know, but there's a formula to doing a Rubik's Cube. But imagine you don't have that formula. And I say to you, you've got 10 minutes to do it. Within 10 minutes, you've burnt out. You feel hopeless, helpless, you've burnt out because you don't have a framework. But the moment I give you a framework, I say to you, step one, step two, step three, step four. 10 minutes later, you feel alive, you feel really great. You feel amazing because you have a framework. So for those people that are listening and are struggling, I ask you, what is your framework for managing the 1,000 pieces in front of you, or managing life during Christmas? And just to give you a very high level framework, whatever your game plan, whatever your routine is, and you have to have a game plan and a routine, as I've explained, because if you don't have one, you will burn out, period. Have at least the following three things included in your game plan. At the very least, your diet, your exercise, and your sleep. Your diet,
right.
Your exercise, and your sleep. So even during this COVID time, people go, oh my God, I've lost control of everything. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. It's perhaps your perception that you've lost control, but you certainly have not lost control over your diet. You haven't lost control over your exercise, and you haven't lost control of your sleep routine. Yes, sure, you might have to shift and change and do things a little bit differently because the environment and the rules of the game have changed, but certainly you're in control of that. And then obviously you include things like family, friends, loved one, a sense of purpose, work on your finances, start creating a new game plan for next year. But focus on elements of your world within a framework. My favorite word is a framework. You've got to create a framework and include all those things in the framework because that's what's going to make you feel in control.
I love that. That's that's really
so amazing.
Helpful.
And it's feeling in control is so important. And I figured it out in a long and hard way. Usually when I first wake up, I've got these two games that I play on my phone. And I have made myself feel guilty for playing these two games for the longest of time. And then I realized that these two games just help me feel in control and start my day off right. Because they're very like organizational games, and there's a list of things to do, and I need to do those in order to get into a good place for the rest of the day. And I've stopped feeling guilty about it. That's my framework for the morning. Once I've completed those two tasks and those are done, I feel like I can breathe and move on to the rest of my day. So it doesn't really matter what exactly your framework is, but it's about having those things that you can feel in control of that make the big difference.
Absolutely. And you know what the framework does, guys, is that it allows you to use minimal energy. Energy. Remember the coins that we discussed right at the beginning, the coin theory?
Yes,
Use your coins. Yeah, it's power. Utilize your coins wherever you wish. And once your coins are up, your body goes good night. But the problem is when you run out of coins at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and your body's not tired, but now you're functioning at a deficit. We've got to be very stingy of where we use our coins, where we use our energy. And the beautiful thing about a framework is it requires you to use minimal energy. It's because it's the framework that carries you. It's the vehicle that carries you as opposed to, so imagine two people wake up. One person, whereas, for example, Leanne has got the game to play, has got your meditation, has got your gym, work, da da da, they've got a framework. While if another person wakes up in the morning and goes, what should I do today? The person that's, what should I do today, has lost about 50 coins immediately. Gone, thanks for coming, that's the end. The person that's got a framework, there's no use of energy, there's no expenditure of energy because the framework is carrying you. I open up my diary, I know what I've got to do, and now I've got extra coins to use for the stresses that might come up, to use for resiliency, picking up on opportunities, engaging with difficult people. I've got the coins while the other person that doesn't have the framework has got zero and are functioning at a deficit.
Yeah, Dr. Hanan, just to talk to that framework thing, you know, a lot of the people that have sent messages in, it seems, or I've certainly picked up a common theme of the organization or lack of organization within the family structure, because it's led into chaos, right? Is there anything within the social sciences and psychology that says there's a way, not a perfect way, but there's a way for optimal family relations to organize it and for people to play their role? Or is family just so complicated at this stage that, hey, it is what it is? Because I read a really interesting article about it on the weekend. I thought I'd ask you your question, especially at this time of year. People need to know their role. Otherwise, things go to hell in a handbag, I think. But I don't know what it is about families.
Yeah, so Mbulelo, it is very true where people get along the moment we understand what each other's positions are and roles. Roles are very important because these definitions ultimately tell you what your rights are, what you can do, and what you can't do, what you can tell me and what you can't tell me. So like, for example, my role as a father versus my child's role as a child, without even having us discuss anything, we know who's got the power position, what I can do, what I can't do, and what my child's position is, what he can do and what he can't do. And these predefined roles allows us to function in harmony because we don't step on each other's toes. So the fact that I'm the father and I've got a child, the child can't tell me, you know, go in, I don't know, X, Y, and Z. And certainly by the way, my restriction as a father, I also have responsibility. It doesn't mean that I've got the power role. I've got certain things that I have to do that my child doesn't. So if my 7-year-old acts silly, well, that's allowed within his role. If I act like a 7-year-old, well, that's going to be seen as inappropriate. So to answer your question, Bilelo, we all got to have our roles, which allows us to function in much more of a harmonious, peaceful manner. It's very important to define that for sure.
And you know what I see in a lot of this is that there's opportunity here. This is a great time of year to ground yourself, to realign your priorities, to pay attention to the things that really make you sane and happy, and to put a plan into action for the new year. You can, you know, you've got time, and during lockdown, a lot of people have been very panicky and a little bit worried about things. Maybe you've had to cancel holidays, or you're not going to do the things that you were going to do. You're not going to spend as much money as you thought you were going to. This is a great time to like put a plan together for next year. This is how I'm going to get my finances in order. This is how I'm going to tidy up my house, tidy up my wardrobe, tidy up my life. I think that there's an opportunity here to do things that practically can help you to get a little bit more in control.
Yeah. You know, Gareth, that's a really, really, really important point. I personally don't believe that everything happens for a reason, but I do believe that you can find a reason for anything. And I think that now that we are in this space, whatever your space is at the moment, you can always look and you will find opportunities to make your life better. This is your starting point. Imagine like I had in Men in Black where they flash you and suddenly you forget about everything that's happened in the past. Imagine you don't remember what's happened. The Men in Black, but what's it called? Sterilizer, but it's not a sterilizer. It's whatever it's called. So imagine I did that to you and you did.
Neuralizer.
And you're the neuralizer, that's it, not a sterilizer. So, So imagine you're the neuralizer, you didn't remember anything that's happened in the past. And now this is, you're born today, and I'm asking you to make the most of it. And I'm telling you, you've got all the tools, all the opportunities to make your life a little bit better, even during Christmas time. Now look for it. Mm. Now look for the opportunities, look for the gaps, look for ways to make your life better, look for things that you can control, because it's all there in front of you for sure.
That's amazing. It's an amazing way of looking at it. I love it. Thanks again, Doc. It's always good to see you. Are we doing another one next week, or is this our last one?
No. We're doing one next week. The last one for the year.
Okay, fantastic. Dr. Khanan back next week. Let us know if you want him to talk through, maybe help you discuss an issue you're dealing with at the moment, a personal conflict, some questions you may have, any kind of difficulty. Maybe you just want to understand some aspect of mental health a little bit better, then give us a shout. You just send us an email at contact@cliffcentral.com. Dr. Khanan, we'll see you next week.
Nice to see you guys. See you. Have a good week.
Awesome. Cheers. There we go. Always good to check in with him. Very sensible, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very sensible. I'm going to go and get a neuralizer. That's what I need.
Yeah,
Toys R Us.
Take a pull, hey?
It's not called a neuralizer. I think it's called a lobotomy, says Corona.
Gosh. Such a scary thing.
Mbulelo, I know you're a little bit crazy, but one of the things I also know about you is that you have certain things that are just non-negotiables. You do a certain amount of exercise every day. You do a certain amount of planning and preparation for your day. You try to have routine about when you wake up. I try to do all those things too. And I'll tell you what, it helps. Hey, it's the little changes like that you make that you build the scaffolding to put the more complicated stuff on top of.
Core principles.
Stuff, you're a mess. If you're going to wake up whenever, if you're going to do whatever, like Dr. Hanan says, you waste 50 of those 100 coins before you've even started.
Core principles. I mean, I don't want to get sanctimonious because he touched on this, Dr. Hanan, but without my core principles, I don't know where I'd be, because somebody who changed my life a couple of years ago told me a bad plan is better than no plan. A bad plan is better than no plan. And it's something I've got written down. I use it every day. With no plan, you are. What did Dr. Hanan say? You use all your coins, 50 coins already. Couldn't agree more.
Gone. All right. When we come back, we'll hit Collectomania. We've also got a lot of other things to talk about. There's plenty in the news. Stick around. CliffCentral.com on a Monday.
CliffCentral.com.